Good evening. Let's open up with prayer this evening. I have to preach when the AFC championship's going on. Don't be giving me funny looks. I'm going to be tight. I'm going to be short. But it's going to be deep. Because you guys are here. Then we can go home and watch the AFC championship. All right, let's open up with prayer. So Lord, we just thank you for this day. What an amazing day. Wasn't it a beautiful day today? Isn't it great to be alive? Man, sometimes it's just nice to say, man, thank you for another day. Life is fun. What a great day. Thank you just for all the people, like Pastor Ramir just said, just the people we have in our life, that you could be like that man at the pool, and he had no one, but we have so many people, not only here in Baltimore, but around the world that we can truly call friends, people that care about us, and we care about them. What an amazing miracle that you placed us in, this eternal life. You placed us in this church. You placed us in your kingdom. What an amazing blessing that is. We thank you for it. And we just ask that you can just bless these words tonight and just let it be your Holy Spirit that can just impart things that we know. And we can just be reaffirmed in them. We can be refreshed in these things. And that you can just give us spiritual strength just for this week as we just move forward in your plan, your perfect plan. So we just praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the kids for Christmas got a lot of Legos this Christmas. Don't you love Legos? You're supposed to like Legos when you're 10, not when you're 42. But I have discovered Legos and I love them. And I have put together all of my kids' Legos and have not allowed them to do any of them. They say, Dad, can you help me out with this? I say, just move aside, kiddo. I'm moving in. Hours later, I'm taking it apart because I missed one little piece and I got to do the whole thing again. You're thinking a Lego piece and you're thinking if you just kind of put it to the side by itself, it's not much of anything. But then if it's incorporated into the structure that you're building, then it has a place and it has value. And this is what Paul's been talking about in the book of Ephesians. We'll just look at a few verses tonight. And I'm just going to reaffirm things that we know. I'm going to reaffirm just basic truths in the scripture because it's here. And we're just going to talk about it. And I think it will be edifying to us. But Paul in Ephesians 4, we know that he says in the first verse to walk worthy of that calling in which you have been called. We have been called to be a member in particular. We know that in chapter 4, he says that we have, each one of us, been gifted a measure of grace. We've said before that measure of grace in the Greek is just this word metron. It's a measure, just like if you have a cubit or if you have an ounce or if you have a pound. When you became a believer in Christ, that Christ gave you a measure of his portion, a measure of his spiritual gift. We know that when Christ at his baptism, he said that he was a full measure, meaning that all of the Godhead, all of the spiritual gifts were in Christ, and he was not missing one bit of any of the spiritual gift. But we know when we become believers in Christ, we do not have all of the spiritual gift, but we have a portion of that gift. And that portion of that gift has been given to us so that we can obviously be a member of the body of Christ. And he says that we can be ministering to each one of the body members with that gift that we've been given. And he says in verse 12, it's for the perfecting of the saints. And he goes through this, and you can see in the last verse of the section, verse 16, a verse we're familiar with, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies according to the working in due measure of each several part, meaning the measure of the gift that you've been given, you're utilizing that gift in the body, and it makes the increase of the body unto the building of itself in love, meaning that we need all of the pieces, all of the measures of the gift of Christ so that we can each be edified with that spiritual gift so we come together so that the body can be the fullness of Christ, meaning the portion of someone is this, the portion of someone is this, but it fills a huge vessel which we call the full measure of Christ, and that is what our calling is. And in verse 17, and this is what we just want to look at tonight just briefly, Paul is now going to talk about the new life that you've been given. He's going to reaffirm that you have been gifted a new life, and he is going to talk about that you have taken off of the old man and you put on the new man. So let's just read a few verses in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. That's a key phrase. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Verse 20, but you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and you were taught in him, even as Jesus, as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness in truth. He gives us just an outline of salvation. He is talking about what happened to these believers in Ephesus when they became believers in Christ, that they were completely transformed. That's just the first principle, that when salvation comes into a person's life, it is not some sort of improvement, it's not some sort of add-on, but it's a removal of the old, and it's a gift of something that is brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we know that if anyone's in Christ, he's a completely new creation. That's a good thing for us to know, that you are not your old self whatsoever. Your old self has been removed. And you are internally a completely new creation. Paul teaches this same thing in Ephesians chapter 2 when he says that we once walked according to the course of this world. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of God, he has given us this divine brand new life. And that brand new life has been gifted to you. In verse 10, he says, you are now a completely new creation, and you are his workmanship. Meaning workmanship is, it indicates that God has created, in the Greek, it's a masterpiece. That masterpiece that he planted inside of you, got rid of the old, and gave you something completely new, and that masterpiece is God-likeness. It is the same nature and character of who Jesus Christ is. We know that in Ezekiel chapter 36, the Old Testament prophecy of the new covenant, he says in verse 26, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. And look at what he says. He says, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. So when you're transformed, there is something brand new that's gifted to you, and there's something that is removed from you. The old man is removed. Salvation in Ezekiel 36 is that you are washed with fresh water, you are given a completely new heart, you are created into a completely new person, and the old heart has been removed. And this is what Paul is saying in verse 17. He's saying that we no longer walk, in Ephesians 4, we no longer walk like the Gentiles walk. The characteristics of any kind of ethnic group, the way that they live their life, we no longer live that way, nor can we live that way. Because you have been created into something brand new. And Paul says in verse 20 that you have learned Christ and you have been taught by him the truth that is in Jesus Christ, meaning in salvation. That you were taught about Christ, you taught what he did and what he was giving, and when you heard that message and you believed it by obedience, by faith, you received it. And he says, and let's just look in verse 22. We'll read verse 21. He says, you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. And he gives a description of how they walk. And they're walking in life just based upon the sinful nature that they have internally and also the sin that reigns in their flesh. And they're walking based upon their feeling of greediness, uncleanliness, and lasciviousness.
But in verse 20, but you did not so learn Christ, past tense. When you became a believer in Christ and you learned what Christ was saying, verse 21, if so be that you heard him, you were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man. The old man is the unregenerate, unsaved you. And when you heard Christ's message and you believed it, Romans chapter 6 says that that old man died. He is no longer in existence. He's gone. He has passed away. And he says that when the old man, in the former manner of life, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. That's an important thing because he is making a statement that at the point of salvation, the old man was put off and you were created as a completely new person. Do you know that who you are has no sin whatsoever? It's completely new. Paul reaffirms it in Romans chapter 6. Let me just show you a few verses in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 2. Paul says, God, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. It's dead. It died. It is no longer in existence. It's gone. When Christ died, the old man died with Christ. Look at what he says in verse 6, that the body of sin might be done away so that we shall no longer be in bondage of sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death no more has dominion over him. Verse 11, even so reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. So the old man is gone. It's no longer in existence. You are completely 100% a transformed new creation. Not mixed with the old. It's completely new. Internally, you're completely new. So the question is, where is sin? Because I still have sin. And we know in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if I am a believer, I am confessing my sin. But it's an interesting thing, and this might be semantical to some of you, but it's an interesting thing that Paul never identifies his new man whatsoever with sin. He always identifies sin in the flesh. He says, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign, where? In your mortal body. Does he say, let not sin reign in your new man? No, he says, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Paul never equates who he is with his sin whatsoever. And we know the testimony that he has in Romans chapter 7, and I'll just show you just a couple points. Look in Romans chapter 7. That Paul is never equating the inner part of who he is as being sinful, but rather he is equating always sin reigning in his flesh. Romans 7, it says in verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. Verse 12, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous and good. We know the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh. Sold into bondage of sin. Paul always locates his sin nature in his flesh. He says that in his new man, internally, he says in verse 17, so now no longer I am the one who's doing it. He says, rather, there's a law that is spiritual, and that law that is spiritual says, internally, the new nature says, oh, how I love your law. But sin, in verse 17, dwells in me. Verse 18, I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. There he goes. He's talking about his mortal body. In him, in his flesh, dwells sin. This is the part of us that has not been yet transformed. But internally, you've been completely transformed. You are nothing other than a complete new creation. Old has passed, old is gone. He has removed stony heart. He's given you a heart of flesh. What does that mean? That you can sense God, feel God, hear God, have relationship with God. Look at in Romans 7. He says that in him dwells no good thing. Verse 17, so it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is not good is not. For the good which I would not do, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but it's sin which dwells in me. Verse 22, he delights in the inner man, the law of God, after the inward man. The inward man is transformed and perfect, and he delights in that. But in verse 23, he says, I see a different law in my members, in his flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is where? In my members. Again, the body has not been transformed, but internally you have been transformed completely. And that new man has a delight, and that new man has an ability to obey God. But in verse 24, we know he says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? Why is he saying body of death? It's where sin lies. In the body. He says, who is going to deliver me? He's saying that I am captive to this physical body that still has impulses for sin. And the world system has an ability to be able to influence the flesh and old patterns that I have in my mind and in my brain and in my members are still there from my old nature. But internally, I'm brand new. And internally, I say, I want to live righteously in this physical, fleshly, sinful body, but how to do it, I do not know. But he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Where is sin abiding? In the flesh. So this is the struggle of the believer. The struggle of the believer is that more and more he knows that what the new nature is and what the capacity of the new nature is. But he's still in this body. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what a great day it's going to be when this sinful body is transformed and made sinless and it's attached to the new man. And the new man no longer has to struggle with the sinful body. The greatest transformation that's happened in your life has already happened. You being completely made new and born again and given a new nature is a greater miracle than when you leave the body. Because when you leave the body, you just leave what you already are right now. But one day, that perfect body will be attached with the perfect inner nature. So Paul says in Romans 8, he says, there is now therefore no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus, meaning that he equated himself in the new man as not being sinful. Not that he was being irresponsible and not actually taking responsibility for his sin, but he was saying that his sin has nothing to do with who he truly is in the new man. Therefore, when God looks at him in the new man, there is no condemnation because there is no sin in his perfect, clean heart. But Paul, in Romans chapter 7, uses this word, the law of sin, and we know that the law of sin, law just meaning something that is always constant, something that never changes. If you have the law of mathematics, you have the legal law, or if you have the law of gravity never changes. It has a certain level of power. It can't change. It's constant. The little analogy I've always used is that if I hold my hand out and I'm holding a weight, and the law of gravity is pulling against my arm, I can fight it with my will. I can fight it with my strength. I can fight it, but what is always going to win? Something that is always constant and the power never runs out. So if I use my will to try to hold that weight up, in a couple of hours, the weight's going to be back down on the floor and gravity won once again. I cannot change my nature in my flesh. Because it's a law, the law of sin. It never stops. It's in the flesh. So Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body that is keeping me in prison, that is causing me not to actually have my new nature do what it wants to do in the body?" But look at what he says in verse 2. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death." Again, law of sin in the body. What is he saying? He's saying the only thing that can overcome the law of sin in the flesh is another law, and that's the law of the Spirit. One law can supersede another law. Little analogy I always use is a balloon, and you pump it up with helium and the balloon floats up in the air and gravity can't pull on it because the law of gravity does not affect the helium. The law of the Spirit is the only thing that can overpower the law of the flesh. So Paul says that, verse 3, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And he says that in verse 2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death." So what does that mean for us tonight in January, for us as believers? Just a couple points and then I'll close. Are you guys with me? I know you know, many of you know this, but it's good to just go over it because it's in the Bible and it's important. But just a couple points that I want to stress to us. And what would Paul say to us? Paul is saying, in the inner man, I delight to do the law of God. In the inner man, I delight to obey, to glorify God. In the inner man, I'm refreshed and renewed, but I'm in this body of death. What do I do, Paul? And Paul would give us a few, and he gave us one in Romans chapter 8. The first one is that we are spirit-filled. Have you ever tried to change your flesh? Have you ever tried to change your behavior? Maybe you do, but sin pops up in another way. The only way that we can overcome our flesh in our body or our sin in our body is by the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit empowers. Look at this, empowers the new man so that now all of a sudden this body that still has sin dwelling in it is now operating for righteousness. It is now glorifying God. Before, my new nature had no other alternative but to obey the impulses of the flesh. But for the first time when you're transformed, you now have a decision that you no longer have to obey the impulses of the flesh. But rather, you are submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit, and he is filling you, and now he is giving you power to be able to work in righteousness in your body. For the first time. And let me just say this, for believers, they do not have the struggle that you and I do. Because they operate in their old man, in their flesh, and they operate the only way they can operate, Romans chapter 6. If you are slaves of sin, you can only obey sin. But now, since your old man is gone and you have a new man, for the first time, you can operate and you can use your flesh in a way that glorifies God. First time. So the filling of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is Scripture. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. The word of God, and this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. When you became a new believer and you were transformed, he didn't just say your mind was changed. He said the spirit of your mind changed. Your completely changed worldview. It's not like you just had new thoughts. You didn't have just something added to you that would help you out in life. You're completely new, and the spirit of your mind completely changed. And the word of God comes in and instructs that mind, and that mind says, amen. When you hear the word of God and it rings true to you, it's not because you're smart. It's not because you know a lot. It's because the new man has a capacity to receive that truth. And all it can say is, amen. And it's built up in it. The natural man hears it and it's not important. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's silliness, it's foolishness, it's stupidity. There is nothing in it that compels the old man whatsoever. But the only reason why we come back and hear the word of God is because your new nature has a capacity for it and it has a hunger for it. It wants it more and more. Paul says, yeah, but the sin in me, but if I delight and I hear the truth and I'm filled with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit empowers me, that law of the Spirit supersedes the law of the sinful flesh that is in me. So filling of the Spirit, the Word of God, and the last one is this. I'm getting excited up here. But the last one is this. You guys are, thank you just for listening. The last one is this, obedience. What do I mean by that? And this relates to Ephesians chapter 4. Obedience. Little sketchboard thing I used to do when I was doing a lot of sketchboard in South America is I would have this little picture of a duck. And the duck had his webbed feet. And the little story I would say is that the duck was walking the streets of Lima, Peru, and he's hitting the asphalt with his little webbed feet, and he had no idea why he had those feet. And he looked at everybody else's and thought, man, I am strange. They have nice feet, but I have these web feet. What are they for? And then the duck one day gets into the water. He puts his feet in and he starts to paddle and realizes that his feet were made for water. You were made for righteousness. Your new nature is made in the image of Christ, and it is made for righteousness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, for righteousness. Do you know that righteousness actually feels good? Wow. Do you know if that duck says, I'm not going to obey and go over to that water. I don't obey anybody. And he keeps walking and he doesn't know what he's created for. What's Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 4? You were made and transformed and you were placed in a body and you were given a measure of a gift of Christ and you operate in that gift to minister to everyone in the body so that the full measure and the stature of Christ will be on display on the earth. That's what you're made for. We all know when we are that Lego piece that we can easily be because the impulses of my laziness in my flesh or my selfishness or the patterns of my old thinking can draw me away. I'm a little Lego piece sitting right over there. Grumpy. Have we experienced when I get back in and I hear the word and I'm a place fitly framed, put in that puzzle piece? Do I fit? Does my inner man delight in it and say, this is what I'm made for? The other day I was in an Uber. My wife and I went away for our anniversary, and I was in an Uber, and I just felt like I got to talk to somebody. Feeling a little guilty. I got to talk to somebody. So my taxi cab driver just mumbling and trying to say something to him and just, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? He said, amen, I love Jesus. And there was something when I got out of that Uber, I go, why don't I do that all the time? It's not law. What did Jesus say when he left and ascended into heaven? He says, teach them to observe what I've taught you. Why do we have to observe what Jesus said? 400 different commands. We say them commands, but it's, you are a new man. Here's the instruction manual that when you walk in the newness of life and you walk in obedience of the Spirit, you actually see that the inner man is delighted living that life. I'm made for that. But the flesh doesn't change. That's why Paul says, I beat my body into submission every day. You're not in charge. My dad preached a message a number of years ago, said laziness is not my God. My flesh is lazy. My flesh is tired. My flesh is this, it's that. But that is not who I am. And last point is when we're speaking to believers, we don't condemn anybody. We just build them up in who they are in their new nature. If they left that body of sin and death, guess what? They are not that thing. They are completely brand new and they are like Christ. And when you build someone up in the new man, you know that they can't help but like it. They say, give me more of that. And we can get familiar with it because we're around it a lot, but we do know when we're removed from it for a period of time, I start to question, look at my feet, what am I made for? But when I'm in it, I'm fitly framed in it, and I say, this is where God made me to be, and he gave me the instruments internally to obey him, and I delight in it. Delighting in what Christ has taught us in obeying it is what Paul would say is walking in the newness in Romans 6:4, the newness of life. You're made for it. You're made for holiness. You're made for beauty. You're made for righteousness. You're made for love. That is what the new man is made for. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, we just thank you tonight just to be just built up and edified. This is who we are. Old things have passed away. It's all gone. The old man in the Greek, it's the old pattern of life. It's a ragged, just garment that has holes in it and it's corrupted and it is removed and you have been given something brand new. If you've never received Christ before in your life, the scripture says that it's a free gift. He wants everyone to have it. That Peter says that he is long-suffering, he is patient, willing that everyone would be saved. Salvation is that you will be condemned in your sin. You will be condemned in who you are because you are guilty before a holy, righteous God. But the great news of the gospel is that Christ, before you even committed your first sin, he knew it, and he came, and he prepared a way so that you would be forgiven completely. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace through faith are you saved. It's not of yourself. It's a gift that God gives you. Romans 10:9, just believe it in your heart. Say that Jesus is your Savior and you shall be saved. Receive it. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve salvation. But this message that you came into the world 2,000 years ago and you died for a wretched sinner like me, if you did that, please give it to me that you could forgive me and give me this new life. Receive it. You don't work for it. You don't pay for it. You just receive it humbly and he'll give it to you. Put your trust in Christ tonight. He'll give you eternal life, eternal hope, and a new, completely new inner nature. Father, we just thank you for this night tonight. We thank you for this amazing day that you've given us. We just praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.